welcome to this month's edition of Our Working Waterfront with yours truly, Chris Bricker, along with my co-hosts, Port Director Aaron Berg and Port of Port Townsend Commissioner Pam Petronic. It's our monthly update on news and personalities that embrace our vibrant maritime community. But first, it's our custom to get an update from Aaron about current happenings in and around our boatyard and our port in general.
Well, thanks, Chris. This is probably the first time in a long time when I can report that the boatyard is not over capacity. But if you think about it, it's July coming into August, and if you're a work boat, you're out working. If you're a pleasure craft, you're out pleasuring. And if you're in the boatyard, you either have a big project or maybe something happened you weren't planning on. So it's seasonal and expected, still very busy in the yard, just not over capacity. The main project I thought I might touch on today is at Point Hudson. People will see four different times this month and next at the South Breakwater over on the Maritime Center side of the marina. We've got a team of volunteer divers who just finished a bunch of training work on Sunday, and they're going to be taking the marine invertebrates that are on that South Breakwater and moving them into the habitat feature that was constructed last year as part of the North Breakwater project. So you'll recall we took about 1,500 or so tons of rock from the North Breakwater, built this habitat feature, and then we'll try to get the creatures moved over before this section gets demolished. We're on track, so Wooden Boat Festival is on in full force this year. There will be a crane barge at the entrance during festival, and then as soon as festival's done, Orion's gonna fully mobilize and get the job done. That's probably the big one to mention. Maybe one small one for folks who are just driving down Water Street this week, and when the show's going, you will see the 42-foot long gray whale skeleton that the Port Townsend Marine Science Center is installing at Union Wharf. Just got dropped off Wednesday, and so by Friday it's gonna start to be in position. So look for that. Pretty darn exciting to see this whale washed ashore on Marrowstone about 3 years ago. Now is a scientific exhibit for all to see and enjoy. So that's it, Chris, for now.
Thanks, Aaron. Appreciate it. What kind of vision and resourcefulness does it take to fabricate frames for a small submarine or come up with a physical solution for a broken fitting in the middle of nowhere? Oh, and by the way, maybe repairing a teapot now and then? Pam's here to find out those answers from Peter Chafee, and to find out why he doesn't just search the aisles of Henry's Hardware. Peter owns Peter's Marine right here at the entrance to Boat Haven. Pam, let's head on over to the shop.
Hello, Peter. We are right here at the entrance to Boat Haven, sitting outside your shop. How long have you been here?
Going on 22 years.
The name of your shop is Peter's Marine, and what kind of projects do you work on?
I've worked on everything from parts to Paul Allen submarine to parts for man-powered helicopters and everything in between.
In 22 years, where were you before that?
Ballard, Seaview Boatyard.
And then where were you before that?
Alaska.
Can you tell a little bit about the Alaska experience and maybe the Seattle boatyard experience that taught you some of the work ethic and basic skills to run this shop?
Being born and raised in Alaska when it was still a territory, we lived in the bush. And when you live in the bush, you don't go to Henry Hardware. You figure out how to make it work because you don't have an option. We didn't live in town. Mm-hmm. We lived out. You just learn how to make things work. Figure it out.
Something breaks.
Fix it.
Sometimes that takes making a new part, making things work better.
I guess back then it wasn't making it better, it was making it work.
Okay.
Any epiphanies along the way when you were exploring your resourcefulness? Did you ever come up with anything that was maybe not necessarily reinventing the wheel, but coming up with something better?
I'm sure I have, but I couldn't put a finger on what it would be. You just find out the easiest way to do stuff and still have the same outcome.
About 24 years ago, 22, you and your wife moved here and you started Peter's Marine and your wife started her own business, a beauty salon, Cuts and Curls, and you raised your two daughters here.
Went through college out of this shop, University of Idaho.
And I believe your other daughter is working in the marine trades.
office manager for Pete Hanke.
Yeah.
She provisions, schedules all the boats.
This is a metal fabrication shop.
Correct.
What's unique about the approach that you take as compared to other metal shops?
I take walk-ins. Nobody else does. That's a service to the community that's greatly needed. Mm-hmm. I mentioned retiring because I'm getting close to 70, and you should hear the blowback I get off of that. No way in hell you can retire. Why not? Because what else would we do?
You're not only working with individual boat owners, but you're working with a lot of the different shops here in Boat Haven that
yes.
you're filling in for jobs on these larger projects, long-term projects, and you can kind of fit in. How do you go about doing that?
I haven't been involved in any of the long-term projects because the kind of job shop I have is I can't do that. This is a long-term project to me right here.
This boat sitting yep. right in front of your shop.
Yep. Yeah, that one right there. Because of the way I run a job shop, who's going to service the people that walk in? The customer that needs the little thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where are they going to go? So I'm unable to focus on one thing solidly, which is probably a good thing. Because I'd lose interest in it.
And you get to meet so many different people.
Tons.
And hence you have a lot of chairs sitting out in front of your shop for extra talk.
Yep.
Which is valuable.
They call it the good old boys club.
Oh, good old boys. You've also been referred to as the old guard here in the port.
Dave Thompson and I are the only two left that have been in the same spot for this long a time. The other ones are still here, but they've moved around.
Right.
We haven't.
So you're in the middle of this vortex and you're just sort of like with the eye of the storm.
Yeah, that's correct.
Well, you were talking about all of these things going on in the shop. What would it be like for you to have the wherewithal and the support to train an apprentice?
I was lucky coming up the hawse pipe, you might say. Well, first of all, I was clean cut. I didn't have piercings or ponytails or anything like that. The old timers took me under their wing because, and I don't know exactly why, but they figured this guy's worth training or teaching. So they imparted knowledge to me that I couldn't get anywhere else, just from the old guys. One of my original mentors was a shipwright. And he was schooled at Vic Frank's Boatyard through the old shipwright apprenticeship program back out of the 30s. So that's who I learned from, and I would be kind of nice to teach somebody else to do it too.
I'm totally in favor of apprenticeship.
Well, the thing is young people today, they don't have skills. They have a cell phone, and it's real sad. I had a young guy in here to help one time. He didn't know how to read a tape measure. And I thought, what's wrong with this picture? So, yeah, if I could impart a knowledge to someone, that'd be wonderful.
Somebody that walk in the door that is trainable and willing to work hard, right?
That's what you need, and that's few and far between, let me tell you.
I know that in the past you had Leif Erickson, who was former port commissioner, former Marine Trades Association chair.
He rented from me.
Mm-hmm. When you look back at the working waterfront here, what are some of the bumps and some of the things that have really turned to make this work well? Riding the high tide, what has raised everybody's boats around here?
A big bump I could think of was Gibney and that group. That was totally wrong. A real bonus was when they got the big haul out. Ernie Baird helped get that going back in the Baird boat days. For a lot of the businesses, that's the biggest boon right there.
Being able to pull the work out of the water and make it happen.
The size of the work.
I've heard it time and time again where this is one of the few places now on either coast where somebody can come and actually get all kinds of work done on their boat without having to go back in the water and go travel another long distance in order to get something else done.
This boatyard has pretty much full service. You can get just about anything you need here. Sometimes it's difficult because everybody's usually busy. What's happening now is that a lot of the boatyards in Seattle on the Ship Canal and Lake Union are gone. Then what private ports are left, they're not allowed to work on their own boats much, which is the world of difference. This is one of the few last places that you're able to do that and still get the services you need. That new lift that they're talking about getting, I think that's a capital idea because it'll make it a lot easier to put boats in here, and it can't hurt because it's only going to get busier.
So, Peter, you're talking about a new lift in addition to what we have now.
Correct.
What's going to be the difference with that one?
First of all, the big 300-tonner out here is getting close to the end of its lifespan. And if it starts breaking down, that's revenue that's going to go right out the window for who knows how long. The smart thing to do is to get that new lift, which they can get grants for.
Yeah, the port did apply for a grant for a new 300-ton lift, and so that's pending.
Yep.
And that will pay for 80% of the cost of a new 300-ton lift.
Yep. And it's what they call an expandable. So that's a good one coming up.
I remember the quote on just replacing the tires on that 300-ton lift.
Huge.
What was it, $6,000 a tire?
Probably more than like $10,000 or $12,000
a
tire.
Yeah, maybe it was 10. So some great memories or then and now perspectives?
Nothing jumps out at me. I mean, you know, I'm basically retired here.
Yeah.
You know, I make a comfortable living. I come and go as I please. And when I ask the boss if I want to go home early, I always get the right answer.
Not everybody's in that unique situation, Peter.
I've been doing it for years. For years. When my daughter was in school, I picked her up every day at 2:30. And I was always here at the shop at 8 o'clock. And at 2:30, I'd leave. And people would say, no, 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 you can't leave. You got to take care of this for us. Well, listen. Daughter, work. Daughter, daughter. See ya.
You know, when you have your own business, you make sacrifices in different ways than if you're an employee. But often you get to choose to put your family first. You get to choose to contribute to your community in ways that maybe you couldn't otherwise if you were an employee. And you've contributed to the community.
I built the roadie float.
I didn't know that.
Well, my daughter was one of the rhododendron queens, and they were doing a parade in Port Orchard. Well, the float caught on fire, and it burned right now to the ground. Left a hole in the blacktop. So the roadie people came to me and says, we need a new float. I said, what do you want me to do? He said, we want you to build a float. So they went out to the car wrecking yard out there. I told them what to do. They went out there, and they got it was like a Ford Focus, a fairly new one that had been banged up. I said, you cut the top off, you pull all the body work off and stuff, you bring it here. So they did. Well, Inclume, up the hill, volunteered to buy all the steel for it. And it was all just small tubing. Put it in where the John Paul's office is now, next door. Used that was my open bay there. We put it in there, and Rick Brendan and I from the port built a new platform off the car.
Now, that wasn't something that you looked up on the computer or at your cell phone for. You were able to just imagine that in 3D form.
I have people ask me all the time, where do you get your drawings to do the jobs?
Right.
And I go, huh? What do you mean, huh? Nobody gives me drawings. They come and tell me what they want. Most of the time, they don't know what they want. And that's a fact. I'm not saying that people are stupid or anything, but they really don't know what they want. So the thing you do is ask them, what do you want it to do? And if they can tell you what they want it to do, I can build it.
That's so cool.
Peter, you call yourself a fabricator. And what's the reason for you calling yourself a fabricator instead of a welder?
Welders are heathens. Welders can't fabricate. They like to weld. They weld, what they've been trained to do. To me, welding is a byproduct of the job I do. It's something that's necessary to accomplish the task you want to do. And fabrication requires welding.
And a whole lot of other things.
You know, not to blow my own horn or anything, but I think I'm lucky in a lot of ways because I have the ability, a lot of people don't, most people are two-dimensional. I can look at something or imagine what it would be, and I can actually, it sounds weird, I know, but I can see it. I can roll it in my mind and see all facets of it. And if you can't do that, you might be a mediocre fabricator over time, but that's all you're ever going to be. You have to think outside the box.
That's the secret of a visionary, no matter where you find one, is having that ability, right?
I don't know where it came from or how it got there, but I use it all the time.
You grew up in Southeast Alaska. You couldn't order from Amazon. You had to figure things out. You had to figure out, how do I get this job done?
Well, one of my biggest drawbacks is, and I think that's me, I'm not technically savvy. I reject it.
I'm starting to hear folks that have a lot of tech skills, and what they're finding is that they're not satisfied. They don't feel like it's really meaningful work, and they're trying to find something that they can do that really is visually and physically more rewarding. And I think you epitomize that.
Well, if I hadn't rejected technology, I wouldn't be here right now. And let me explain that. When I was younger and worked at Seaview, I had a group of friends that hung around. The cell phones came out, the big brick cell phones and the car phone had just come out back then. And one of my buddies had one. And they wanted me to invest with them with a fellow named McCall. And I said, you guys are out of your mind. It'll never fly. No, I'm not giving money to you. Well, it turned out to be McCaw Cellular. And if I would have gave him the $2,000 or $3,000 they wanted, I think he sold McCaw Cellular to AT&T or whatever it was for $18 billion or something like that. And I have a cell phone now. For the longest time, I had a flip phone, which was my favorite. I know how to run the keypad, the dial, and I know how to look and see who called me. The rest of, they said, well, you got all this stuff on your phone. Don't need it. I can call somebody, I can talk to somebody, and I can hang up the phone.
What are some of your hopes for the future of our working waterfront? What are some of the things that you think we need to ensure our future generation of small businesses here to succeed at our working waterfront?
And I would like to add that what impresses me the most around here is the sharing culture that exists here in the boatyard, where people are willing to help one another without necessarily the expectation of compensation as much as it is everybody willing to help, willing to share.
Working together versus competing against each other, working for each other.
You know, I thought about something like the other day, speaking of the future of the port and the working waterfront. The port's sitting on a gold mine here. There's no other place. Let's face it, Port Townsend becoming a tourist destination. Has been for a long time. If they did a tour and took them around and let them look in the shops, and that's such a novelty to people, it would be amazing. Just by expanding the vision, open up. A friend of mine moans or complains about all the cars driving through. And they say, well, only about 40% of them actually belong here. The rest of them shouldn't be here. Well, I disagree with that. Why not let them look around? Eventually, it's going to come back tenfold.
So people can see these multi-generational boats. They can see real work being done. They can see people who are passionate, not only about their boats, but about their work. And then to just think, what do these boats do? Where do they go?
Yep.
Pretty amazing, the whole world.
Nothing like this in L.A. Go to Seattle, there's nothing left like this in Seattle. You can't get in the gate. But here, it's still here. They still have the opportunity to come and see.
Peter Chafee, thank you for taking the time to talk with us and to share your insight and your background right here in the middle of our working waterfront.
Maybe someone is listening out there that can think in 3D without a computer.
I'm a lucky man.
All right.
Without it, I couldn't do it. I'd be mediocre at best. I'm mediocre anyway, but don't make any difference.
Thank you, Peter.
Indeed.
Oh, Lukey's boat is painted green, a hobby boys.
Where else can a guy have the brewery across the street, the coffee shop across the street, the taco shop, the fish shop, the restaurant down the way, right here in my lap? And it's mine.
All right here at the Port of Port Townsend, Boat Haven, Marine Trades, Working Waterfront.
We need to share it with the world.
Our theme music, Lukey's Boat, with Mark Hiscock, Mike Moran, Chris Andrews, and Mike Kinsella, from the album Songs of the Sea on Avondale Records.